Yeyosfu. Kol ha'om ki ish echad el harachov asher lifnei shar hamayim. And the entire people gathered as one man to the square that was before the, yes, Shar HaMayim, the water gate. There was a gate called Shar HaMayim. Yes, we know all about it. Right. They came to the water gate. Vayomru le'Ezra HaSofer, and they said to Ezra HaSofer, Lahavi et Sefer Torat Moshe, Asher Tziva Hashem et Yisrael. They told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the Sefer of Torat Moshe that God had commanded the children of Israel. Ezra was the keeper of the Torah. Vayavi Ezra HaKohen as HaTorah lifnei HaKohol meish vad isha, and Ezra the Kohen brought the Torah. Now Ezra is going to be described in different ways, I believe 7 times in this chapter that he will be mentioned. And we will see toward the end of the chapter if it's possible to find some reason why he is described in different ways at different times. Yes?
One thing, the Torah, or all the people, is that?
No, it doesn't mean that. He's the keeper of the Sefer Torah. The teachings of Torah, right? We're not talking about the fact that there's a physical one Sefer, no. He is the one who is charged with the responsibility of bringing the Sefer. Watch, in this second pasuk, it says, "Vayavi Ezra HaKohen es HaTorah lifnei HaKohol me'ish v'adisha." Ezra the Kohen brought the Torah before the community, the congregation from man until woman. Over here, the Malbim points out, why doesn't it say Sefer? So he says, over here it's referring to Torah Sheba'al Peh. Not only does Ezra transmit to them the Torah Shebichtav, not only is he the great teacher of Torah Shebichtav, he is the colossus, the giant of the Mesorah. Moshe, Kibel, Torah, Misinai, Mesorah, Yeshua, Shulizgem, Zgem, Levinu, Levinu, La Anshe Knesset HaGadola. We're now going to be talking about the Anshe Knesset HaGadola. There are things that are going to be said here and decisions that are going to be made that are going to be Ezra with the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. And since they now represent, they are in fact the ones who are transmitting the entire Mesorah, so it's both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now I would say that in the first pasuk he's referred to as Ezra HaSofer, because there it's talking about Sefer Torah. So he is described as Ezra the Sofer. And where it says, by Yehos, we call Yisrael, all of Israel, all kol ha'am, the entire people gathered like one person, to the courtyard, asher lifnei shar hamayim, that's before the water gate, and we made all of the comments already that have to be made about that. Of course, Canadians don't have a clue what we're talking about. The two of them, they're both Canadians? Just you. You two. All right. But Americans know what Watergate means. And they said to Ezra, HaSofer, to Ezra the scribe.
That's what he said about 10 minutes.
Yeah, you've been very slow this morning.
I didn't catch it.
What are you talking about? Shar HaMayim. And they said, now, what I was trying to say is that in this pasuk, Ezra is described as Ezra HaSofer. In the second pasuk, he is referred to as Ezra HaKohen. Now, I'm going to try and explain it, though, of course, I don't know yet if I will work it out all the way through. In other words, he's called Ezra HaSofer, as we pointed out the first pasuk, where it says, they said to Ezra the Sofer to bring the Sefer Torah Moshe, that God had commanded the children of Israel. That's talking about Torah Shebichtav, where the actual Sefer is brought. Now, Ezra, in terms of Torah Shebichtav, is the Sofer. He's called Ezra HaSofer. He is the scribe. Chazal say one of the reasons why he was called that, not because he's a Sofer. We pointed out, we're not talking about that he was a Sofer who wrote Sifrei Torah. But the Chachamim HaRishonim were called Sofrim because they counted every letter of Torah. All of Torah was known to them to perfection. Ezra HaSofer is Ezra who knows every letter of Torah and transmits it to them. The second pasuk where it says Vayavi Ezra HaKohen Ez HaTorah, Ezra the Kohen brought the Torah, so here he's not called Ezra HaSofer, he's called Ezra HaKohen. So I want to explain this with the Malbin that I just said a moment ago, which is that in this pasuk it does not say that he brought the Sefer Torah, but it says he brought Torah. Because in this pasuk it is referring to the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law, because Ezra is now standing before the people as the head of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the great assembly. And they are now the colossus, the great giants who are transmitting Torah from the generation of the prophets. The prophets gave it over to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And all Torah that we have comes to us from Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. We're the students of the men of the great assembly. Whose task is it to teach Torah? The Levim and the Kohanim. Yoru Mishpotecho liYaakov v'Toratcha liYisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu tells in Zos HaBracha, he gives the blessing to the tribe of Levi that Yoru, they should teach Mishpatecho liYaakov v'Toratcha liYisrael. So who are the teachers of Torah? The Kohanim. So therefore, I believe that's why it says Vayavi Ezra HaKohen. He's called Kohen in terms of his transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, I'm taking, of course, a tremendous risk over here. I'm not sure yet whether it's going to work out all the way through. But I hope it will. The whole Mavin Lishmoa and everybody who's able to understand what they're hearing, they all were there. B'yom Echad L'Chodesh HaShavi, the first day of the seventh month. Rosh Hashanah. It is Rosh Hashanah. And this is the first Rosh Hashanah that Nehemiah is in the country. What Nehemiah has accomplished in the 52 days preceding, nearly preceding, he had finished the walls of the city, a tremendous accomplishment. During the month of Av and Elul, they built the walls and completed it. And now, in a sense, there is, this is some 12 to 15 years that Ezra has already been in Eretz Yisrael. And now, with the strength of Nehemiah, Ezra is going to begin to legislate for the Jewish people. He's going to take the Jewish people in hand. Ayikrabo, and he read in the Sefer Torah Lefnei HaRechov, Asher Lefnei Shem HaShem, before that courtyard, the big courtyard, the plaza that was before the Watergate, Min Ha'or, from the beginning of daylight, Ad Machatzit HaYom, until half the day. Neged Ha'anoshim V'Hanoshim V'Hamabinim, in the presence, facing the men and women who understand, the Osnei Kol Ha'am El Sefer HaTorah, the ears of the entire people were directed toward the Sefer Torah. Vayamo Ezra HaSofer Al Migdal Eitz Asher Asu LaDavar. And here, as this still fits in with what we're talking about, because he's standing on a wooden platform that had been built for him in order to read from the from the Sefer Torah, huh? Who? Like Hakel. Like the gathering that takes place on Sukkot every eighth year, where the king reads from the Sefer Torah. In fact, the Gemara learns a lot of the halachas of king from what they describe here by Ezra. That there's a a platform of wood. I should also allow that they meet for this.
Like a bima.
Like a bima, yeah. Or, you know, we would call it a stage. So that everybody should be able to hear him. Vayamo, that's low. And there are different opinions over here, but according to the opinion of the Gemara, there were six people standing on each side of him. Six people on each side of him would, of course, make a total of 12. We have shown in previous occasions where 12 sacrifices were brought, because whatever Ezra did, he symbolically included all of Israel, which means all of the 12 tribes. So they stood next to him. Matitya, Shema, Anoya, Uriya, Chilkiya, Umaaseya, Alimino, that's six, on his right side, Umismolo, Pidoya, Umishoel, Umalkiya, Vechoshum, Vechashbadana, Zechariah, Vishulam, seven. So the Gemara is going to bring an opinion. The Gemara is going to begin bring an opinion that Zechariah Meshulam is one person.
No vav between.
Because there's no vav between Zechariah and Meshulam. Not everybody agrees. There are certain strong that did have a vav, but basically it's six on one, six on the other. Yes.
What would it be true about Adnei Kala'am?
When I first read it, I thought that it means, and anybody else, even if they didn't understand, but they were able to hear. My second look at the pasuk is telling us you should know. The people are listening. The first part of the pasuk is saying who he is directing his words to. And then the pasuk tells us, you should know, V'oz they call ha'om el sefer ha'Torah. They are listening very closely. Yes. V'oz, huh? That's right. They are listening very closely. Pasuk hey, v'yiftach Ezra ha'sefer leinei kolam. Ezra opened the sefer before the eyes of the entire people. Because he was on this raised platform, the Migdal. And when he opened the Sefer Torah, the entire people stood. I think we may come here on one of these sheets, should we ever get to them, you know. There is an opinion that the word Amdu has two meanings, and both are intended over here. They stood, and what?
They were silent.
Standing at silence is a very, very Jewish thing. And this is the only puzzle. Oh, Bela, you should have been with me about 10 seconds ago, you understand? You should have caught up to what... This pasuk, yes, this pasuk is very unique. This pasuk is very unique. Ukipischo, amdu kol ha'am, and I believe we'll get to that gemara because, of course, regardless of what happens, I'm going to be learning some of these gemaras with you. They stood, and they stood at silence, and the idea of standing in silence in honor of the Torah. This is the pasuk. There is no other pasuk in Tanakh that says it. So let no one tell you that this, the idea of standing at attention in silence, this is goyish and we learned it from the goyim and it's chukas ha-goy. Nonsense. Well, I've said it before. No, maybe I never said it before. I don't think I ever said it.
Write it. And put it in
the paper
that's so
weak. All right, could be. Who knows? I have to work on an article tomorrow, so we'll see. By the way, I think I'm going to be on radio tomorrow night, Radio West.
Ah.
Not singing or playing rock music. You understand? 7 o'clock, Yom HaShoah program. I think tonight, I'm not sure what hour Rabbi Riskin is on. And tomorrow night I'm on. I don't know what else they had. It's just that they were trying to switch me with Rabbi Riskin, and it didn't work. All right, so that's all. Vayivarech Ezra et Hashem ha'alokim ha'katol, and Ezra blessed the great God. Vayanu kol ha'am amen, amen. And the people all answered on this bracha, amen, amen, emes, b'mo al yedehem, by raising their hands on high. In a sense, it is a salute to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Vayigdu, and they went bent their knees by Yishtachru Hashem Apayimart, and then they bowed before God on their faces to the ground. V'yeshua uboni v'sheyrevya yomin akuv shabtai hodiyo ma'aseyo kalito azaryo yozovot honon ploayo v'halavim mevinim et ha'am la'torah v'ha'am al amdam. It means, in a sense, after the opening of Ezra that took a good few hours, that, you know, like, there's the plenary session, and then they break into workshops. These were the ones that now divided the people into groups, and they made it possible for the people to understand the Torah. And the people are still standing in their positions. They read in the Sefer of the Torah of God, Miforash, clear. Vesom Seichel, they placed their intellect into it. Vayovinu Bamikra, they understood the psukim that they read. This is not a simple pasuk we've just read, and one of the Gemaras is going to explain his pasuk, so just hang in, we'll get back to the pasuk soon. Vayom Nechemyah, who Hatir Shosa. Nechemyah, who was called Hatir Shosa. Hatir Shosa was, in a sense, his title. And this name had first, this title had first been used with regard to Nechemyah in the chapter before. So Nechemyah, who is Hatir Shosa. The Ezra HaKohen HaSofer. Ezra is now called both Kohen HaSofer. Now you'll tell me, why is he called Kohen first and Sofer second?
And there's a line in between.
V'halavim HaMevinim Et Ha'am. The term Bina, if you want to understanding, you can start counting how many times it appears in this chapter. This is not merely some kind of a gathering at which ceremonies are going to take place. We're talking about a real learning session. They are making it possible for the people to understand the Torah. Hamavinim et ha'om l'chol ha'om hayom kodeshu l'Hashem l'okechem. And you know what they want to teach them more than anything else right now? That today is a holy day to God, your God. Al tid ablu v'al tivku, don't mourn and don't cry. Because the fact is, ki bochim kol ha'am ki shomam et divrei ha-Torah, because the people were crying as they heard the words of Torah. Here comes another famous pasuk, brought a number of places in Shas. Vayom elahem, he said to them, l'chu ichlu mashmanim, go eat all sorts of good foods. Ushtu mamtakim, and drink sweet drinks. Vishilchu manot la'ein nachonlo, and send portions of food to those that don't have anything prepared to eat. Ki kodosh hayom la'adoneinu, because today is holy la'adoneinu. Va'al te'otzu, don't be sad, ki chedvat Hashem himo uzechem, because the joy of God is your great strength. Of course, this pasuk is telling us an extremely important halacha. There is a question in halacha: is there a mitzvah of v'somachta b'chagecha on Rosh Hashanah? It says v'somachta b'chagecha by Sukkot, from which we learn that on the Sholosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, there is a mitzvah of simcha. What about Rosh Hashanah? On the one hand, you can say that Rosh Hashanah Yom Hadin, the svarim of Chaim and Mason, the living and the dead, are open before God. Is this a day of joy? And what are they saying over here? No, l'chu ichlu mashmanim u'shesu mamtakim v'shilchu manot la'inokalo. Because today is a holy day. Don't be sad. You have to be happy today. The halavim machshim l'chol ha'om leibor hasu. And the levim are silencing all the people, saying to them, shh. Hasu shh, ki hayom kadosh. Today is holy. V'al teyotzu, and don't be sad.
Sounds like they never observed Rosh Hashanah.
No, I don't believe it's because they didn't observe Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe I properly.
No.
I mean, the first time they're bringing out the Sefer Torah and learning and everything on that day.
So I'll tell you, the Das Mikra over here says, you know, why were the people crying?
They heard those things they did.
Oh, so he says two pshatim. One is because they were afraid of the punishments that they heard that had been read from the Torah, and he also brings an opinion that says maybe it was their custom to fast on Rosh Hashanah. The fact is that the Shulchan Aruch does bring an opinion or a minhag to fast on both days Rosh Hashanah, and I think if somebody fasts on Rosh Hashanah, never has to fast for the rest of his life. I don't know.
What portion did they read?
We don't know what portion they read. All that we know is that there were selections, but we don't know what selections they were.
The time that he read to them about sending away their wives, their...
Yeah.
And there was a great crying, and there was
I don't know why, but I have this feeling. Maybe they're standing there and they're crying because they are overwhelmed by how historic the moment is. That they have been zecher. There may be another 7 million Jews in the world in Asia Minor, but there are 42,500 Jews who are zecher to be standing in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, listening to Ezra and Nehemiah. And they are standing there. Number one, there's a Beis HaMikdash built. Number two, they have finished the walls of Yerushalayim, and they are full of a sense of gratitude. They are overwhelmed by the greatness of the history of the moment. How do you like that? Nobody answered.
This is their first Rosh Hashanah?
No, it's not their first Rosh Hashanah. Jews have already been in Eretz Yisrael some 50 years.
Hey.
Yeah. Maybe more. It may even be more. It may even be more.
But it's the first one with the Beit HaMikdash?
No, it's the first one with the walls, the entire wall, completed and finished a few days before Rosh Hashanah. They had been through a frightening period, the 2 months of and El that year. You remember the reports that were coming that there's going to be an attack. And therefore, as they stand and work, in one hand they hold their sword or their spear, and in the other hand they're working. We're talking about 2 months of tension where they're watching and on guard day and night because of a reported hatra'ot. There are warnings of an attack by the enemy.
And assassination of the enemy.
And the assassination of the Chemie, right? It's a very frightening period of time. And the end is that they succeed. They did it. And nobody has attacked. If anything, the enemy is frightened off from attacking. And now they have the protection of the city. I don't know, isn't there enough over here to bring one to tears? And here they are, most probably the kind of ceremony that they were watching had not taken place for 150 years by Klal Yisrael. The last time must have been Chidkiyahu HaMelech on Sukkot of the 8th year, standing up in the Beis HaMikdash and reading from the Sefer Torah. I mean, it's an unusual event. I'm getting all choked up already thinking about it. Yes. If I would be standing there, this is the way I would feel. I don't know to what extent I would be afraid of the Anshim. I would turn to the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, listen, Rebbeinu Shalom, we've been doing your work over here. We have risked our lives. We built the wall. We rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. We're trying to be good Jews. You know, this is Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha, but God's eyes are in this land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. I don't know. I don't have I don't know. I feel very strongly that these are some of the emotions that are, and feelings that are going through them. And how they, remember, how had they built the wall? Each family built that part of the wall that was near their house, you understand? They were all in grave danger, and the danger has passed. So you know what happens when the danger has passed? You praise the Lord. So why shouldn't they feel that way? I don't understand. You know, I'm still going to look for some kind of a proof somewhere. But I just, Nikor and Divrei Emes, you can say that what I'm saying, I believe is the truth. All right, let's go a little further so I can do these sheets. Va'asher Yashmil.
Where?
Pasuk. Wait a minute.
No,
13.
You're on.
No, where did I? Just wrong.
No.
God, I'm looking in a different bed. I'm up to Pasuk. Yud.
Yud bet.
No. No, I'm up to Yud bet. Mm-hmm. The Levim, Pasuk 11 said that the Levim are silencing the people, telling them, "Shh, today is holy." Valtiyos. Vayelchu kol ha'am lechol v'lishtos u'lishalach manot. Yeah, absolutely. The people went to eat and drink, u'lishalach manot, and to send portions. V'lasot simcha kit gedola ki hevinu badvarim asher hodiu lahem. Because they understood the words that they were being told. Here I'm ready to agree with the Das Mikra that there were words that were calming, a calming that was said to them. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that Ezra would have told them, Chevra, your place in Jewish history is certain. You have done something that all of Klal Yisrael will know for all generations to come. You stood in the front line. U'bayom Hasheni, and on the second day, Nesu Rashei Ha'avot L'chol Ha'am, the heads of the families of all the people gathered, the Kohanim and the Levim, El Ezra HaSofer, U'la Haskil, El Divrei HaTorah, so that they should learn from him the words of Torah. We're talking about a people that is sitting down together to study Torah. Vayimzu katuv batorah. Here you're going to get all the shook up. Vayimzu katuv batorah. They found written in Torah. Asher tzivu Hashem biyad Moshe. That God had commanded to Moshe. Asher yeshvu b'nei Yisrael. Basukos bechog. Bachodesh hashvi. That the children of Israel should sit in Sukkot on the Yontif that is in the seventh month. Now you understand exactly what it was that I assumed was going to bother you. They didn't know about Sukkot. Gemara. Ba'asher yashmiu, they should let it be known. V'aviru kol b'cholareim u'b'Yerushalayim le'mo, they should send a message. The voice should go through all of their cities and Yerushalayim. Tzu'u ha'har, go out to the mountains. V'haviu, and bring alei zayit v'alei eitz shemen from the alei zayit arpos, from olive trees. You should bring the leaves, the branches of olive trees, v'alei eitz shemen, and the branches of whatever an eitz shemen is. How do they? Here they say that the eitz shemen is the name for the Oren Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim pine.
You know, it's not edible, but we get turpentine from pine.
You get turpentine from pine?
Yeah.
I don't know that. Go. But Elan Srak means a non-fruit bearing tree. And what is unique about Yerushalayim? The Reach Oranim. Mm-hmm. You may not feel it all around town, but I remember to me, the Reach Oranim, wherever I am in the world, I smell a pine tree and I think of Yerushalayim. Now, there used to be many more pine trees in Yerushalayim, and much less shopping centers and office buildings. And then, the whole city, wherever you went in the city, you just smelled the scent of pine. Now, I'm afraid you have to go to Bet HaKerem and a few other places, and some places in Katamon and in...
Eternal.
Bela,
fruit.
I'll take you for a walk one night in Beit HaKerem, and you'll see what a real Deachorana.
Toward the end of
Agassi? Oh, yeah, toward the end of Agassi, you're right, because it's coming up from the park.
Yeah,
from Yad Yerushalayim. From Yad Yerushalayim. Sorry, but when I think of Agassi, I only think of the shul or our house.
And the traffic jam.
And the traffic jam at the end, getting in again. But you're right, from Yad Yerushalayim, we get the Reach Oranim coming up. And then get Alei Hadas, Valei Tamarim, Valei Eitz Avos, La'asot Sukkot Kakatov, and also the branches of Hadas bushes, the branches of Tamarim. Isn't that what we really, no, that we use those. Those are the big ones that they sell before Sukkot. Tzchak, Valei Eitz Avos, that's Lulav, branches, La'asot Sukkot Kakatov, to make Sukkot. So of course, I know I'm not going to, there is a problem over here. What's left over here is the impression as though, my, they found a fascinating halacha in Torah. In Torah it says it's supposed to live in sukkahs. That's obviously that's not supposed to be.
But the plant is half that you normally put on top of the sukkah. You don't really put the alay tamarim and things like that.
Well, why? You do? Why not?
Why not?
On the contrary. On the contrary, the Gemara says that from here we learn what sukkah is supposed to be. All of those that are listed here, Goran Sukkah says, all of those that are listed here are items that grow from the ground. From here we know that it has to be something that grows from the ground and it's natural. Vayetzuham, and the people went out by Yaviyu, and they brought Vayasulahem Sukkot, Ish al Gago ubechatzoteim, each one made on his roof or in their courtyards, ubechatzot beit ha'elokim, and in the courtyard of the house of God, uberechol shar hamayim, and in the plaza before the water gate, uberechol shar afrayim, and on the street that led to shar afrayim, vayasu kol hakol hashavim min hashvi sukkos, the entire congregation that returned from the exile made sukkos, vayeshu basukkos, and they sat in sukkos, kilo osu mimei yeshua binun kein b'nei Yisrael. The children of Israel had not done something like this from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And don't anybody ask me why it's Yeshua and not Yahushua, because the Gemara is going to ask the question. But he's Simcha Gedola Ma'od, and it was a great joy. Obviously, we're going to have to, I know. So we can just hang in. By Yikra, the Sefer Torah Telukim, Yom B'Yom, day after day, they read. Who read? He read. Ezra read. In the Sefer Torah Elokim, day by day, min hayom arishon ad hayom achron, from the first day until the last day, vayasu chag shivas yomim, and they made a chag, sukkos of 7 days, uvayom hashmini atzeret kamishpat, and on the eighth day they made an atzeret, as is the law. Alright, now I'm going to begin the process of explaining the difficult sukkim in this chapter. Yes.
Of love, which is Hashem Elohim, it didn't be the Rahamin. In other words, later on it only uses the Elohim. And then it says, what's the significance of the two Amen? There's the line in between Amen, Amen, Amen. There is a feel to say Amen, but Amen, but it's the love, but here's.
Alright, I some of your questions may very well be answered. let's begin. Where should I begin? Alright. I'll begin with the easy. We'll go from the easy to the more difficult. Easy is, you have three sheets here. One is from Masechet Megillah, one is from Masechet Yoma, and one is from Erchin. Megillah. We'll begin with Megillah. You see the black line in the Gemara. Amar Rav Ikar Bar Ovin. Amar Rav Chananel. Amar Rav. Not the black line in the Rashi. The black line in the Rashi is only going. I want to just point something out to you in a little while. Amar Avika, but not the Gemara. Amar Avika Bar Oven, Amar Chananel, Amar Rav. My dechtiv. What does it mean when it says vayikru, vayikru? Yeah. Just one. I always get vayikru. That's pasuk eight. Vayikru. Basefer, Betorat Elokim, Meforash, Besom Sechel, Vayavinu Bamikro. The Gemara is now going to take the pasuk phrase by phrase. Vayikru'u Basefer Torat Elokim. You know what that refers to? That refers to Mikro. The psukim, the words of Torah. Miforash, what is the perush that they are talking about? For example, Rashi says Mikra, Rashi translates as Loshon Ivri Shel Chumash, the Hebrew of the Chumash. Miforash is the Targum, the Aramaic, Targum Unkelus. V'son Seichel, the next two words in the pasuk are V'son Seichel, Elu ha-psukin. In order that one should truly understand, remember, Torah is written for all intents and purposes as a run-on sentence, and you have to know where to stop. Where does a pasuk end, and where does the next pasuk begin? The psalm, Seichel, represents the idea of the psukim, as Rashi says, how do you stop? When do you stop? And then, Vayovinu Bamikra, the end of the pasuk says they understood the psukim. Elu piskei tamim are the cantillations. Mercha tipcha munach zarkoth, they taught them the cantillations. And then there's another opinion that says elu hamasorod. We once discussed it some years ago in one of our Tanakh classes. I showed you the Masorah. The Masorah was a system that was created by Chachma Yisrael as a check and balance so that we should know exactly how every word in Tanakh is read, how many times it appears in Tanakh, where it appears, how it's read, how it's spelled, how it's written. It's an unusual system. That what it accomplished was that for all of these generations, the Sefer Torah remains nearly unchanged and unaltered. It was a nearly foolproof way of transmitting Torah. So it was a form of a, I don't know, what would you call it? A checks and balance, yeah, like that. A means of preserving the integrity of the text, and it succeeded.
Can you give an example?
I once Xeroxed for you in the old days, this I did even before I had my own Xerox machine. I Xeroxed for you a page from the Mikros Gedolos, and the Mikros Gedolos Chumash and Tanakh has on it a Mesorah Gedola and a Mesorah Katana. I'll give you an example. How many psukim in Tanakh have six words that are repeated, the same word is repeated in one puzzle? Tell me two psukim in Torah Deviim Ksuvim that have the same word repeated six times in the puzzle.
Is the word God's name?
No. 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 One of them is going to come up, I think, in... No, not Tazria Metzora. I think one is going to be in Amor. So I'm not going to tell you which that one is. But I would suggest to Sora, if you could please open the Sefer Mishlei. Oh, you can do it too. Mishlei is earlier.
Yeah.
Mishlei. Chapter, go to chapter 24.
Okay.
I may be making a mistake, maybe 23.
I'm getting nervous now. Now here I'm pulling this big act over here, and I may fall.
Twenty-four Pasuk 29. Shlomo HaMelech is talking about the evils of imbibing too much of intoxicating beverages. And beautiful, beautiful psukim. Einecho yiru zarot, your eyes are going to see strange things. V'libcho yedaber tahapuchot, and your heart is going to talk all sorts of topsy-turvy things. Your vision is going to be blurred. You're going to slur what you have to say. You're going to be like somebody who's lying in the very midst of the sea. You're seasick, you're tossing and you're turning. And like somebody who's at the top of a ship. It's such beautiful. And the pasuk is Limi oi, Limi avoi, Limi medonim. Who's the one that says oi? Who's the one that says oi vei? Lemi medonim, who's getting into fights with everybody? Lemi siach, who's talking and babbling like a nut? Lemi pitzoim chinam, who's the fellow who's getting hit all over and it seems like it's for nothing? He's getting all sorts of wounds. Lemi chachlulot einayim, to whom is there redness of eyes? Six times the word lemi. I've given you one of the unusual examples, but the Masorah has thousands upon thousands of rules. You come to a word, how many times the word appears in Tanakh? How it's spelled every place it appears in Tanakh? That's what the system is all about. So that it is the classic check and balance. And the Masorah very often repeats itself each time it comes to one of the psukim. In other words, over here the Masorah is going to tell me that there may be three psukim in Tanakh that have six words the same. They'll tell it to you here, they'll tell it to you at the pasuk that's going to come up in Parashat Hamor, or in any other place. So that wherever you go, if you keep learning, the Masorah keeps a constant check on every spelling, every way in which... how you're supposed to express a word. For example, they will give you all sorts of lists. If you have, for example, you'll have a pasuk with S, S, S. S, S, S. S, S, S. S, S, S. There's somebody psukim with a poor Baal Kori can go crazy. Is it an S with a Segol? Is it an S with a Tzere? The Masorah gives the rules for all of this. And the Masorah very simply protected the integrity of the text throughout all of history. All right, that's one piece of Gemara. That's Megillah. Let's go to...
Let me finish a little bit.
Huh?
Let's keep going.
Yeah, but the only other thing was the Rashi, I had once told it to you, And now I have a list of so many Rashis, but Rashi, through all of Shas, whenever there's a pasuk that is quoted from Sefer Nehemiah, Rashi invariably will write B'Sefer Ezrikziv. Do you see that Rashi underlined over there? B'Sefer Ezrikziv. By the way, we're talking about a pasuk from Sefer Nehemiah. This is just to prove to you what I said when we started learning Ezra and Nehemiah. There is no Sefer Nehemiah in our Masorah. It's all Sefer Ezra. Okay, next. I will give you a story. Yuma, we'll take Yuma second. Because over here the Gemara is going to go into not only some psukim in our chapter over here, and they're also going to be psukim in the next chapter. But let's start over here. Let's start where? Top of the page. Alright. They're talking... what the Gemara is talking about over here is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur reads from the Sefer Torah. The Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur is done by the Kohen Gadol. So that means public readings of the Torah were done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, by the king every 8th year, and here we have it by Ezra. By the way, this is also going to become one of the takanos of Ezra. We're going to have to learn the there are laws that are going to be promulgated by Ezra, and one of them is going to be Kriyas HaTorah, that we read the Torah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos in the afternoon. This was a takana of Ezra. Says the Gemara the following. Let's go from the beginning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Tanya said the following. Heichon Kodin Bo. Where do you read from the Sefer Torah? This is talking about the Kohen Gadol. Where does he read from the Sefer Torah? Gemara says Ba'azora. Azora is the temple courtyard. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Bahar Abayit on the Temple Mount. Shedema Vayikru. He brings our pasuk, our chapter. Vayikru bo. They read Lifnei Harachom Asher Lifnei Sharamayim. From Rav Chizda said that they read BeEzra's Noshim. Vayivorech Ezra as Hashem Elokim Hakadosh. But it says in our chapter we learned that Ezra blessed the great God. My God, oh, what do you mean the great God? Amar Rav Yosef of Aram, Shegidlo b'shem hamatorash. Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav, in what way did he make him great? Because he used the ineffable name of God. The shem hamatorash. We don't even know how to express the Shem HaMeforash. There was a very special and unique way in which it was read. Now, what's happened over here in the Gemara is the following. The Gemara moves from one thing to the next by association. The first question that the Gemara was dealing with was, where does the Kohen Gadol read the Sefer Torah? From the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara brought a number of opinions, and one of the opinions was based on the Pasuk in Ezra. Once we're talking about that in Nehemiah, once we're talking about that chapter, so the Gemara now asks, whereby that chapter, what does it mean when it says that Ezra blessed the great God? What does great mean? So Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rav that he made God great by using the ineffable name of God. Rav Gidol Amar, Rav Gidol said, in what way did he make God Gadol? Because he said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam va'ad ha'olam. There are a number of Gemaras where it says that a bracha that was said in the Beit HaMikdash was said different. For example, when we say Shemon Esri, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Atfilah. That's not how they said a bracha in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash they would say, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is God, the God of Israel, for all eternity, min ha'olam ba'ad ha'olam. Amalei Abaye le Rav Dimi. So Abaye said to Rav Dimi, how does Rav Gidol know that he used this big formula, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Dilma Shegidlei b'shem ha'meforash? Maybe it is because he used, maybe it's like the previous pshat that he used the ineffable name of God. Amalei, so he said to him, because Ein Omrim Shem HaMeforash Begvulim. You don't say the Shem HaMeforash outside of the Beit HaMikdash itself. Now this Gvulim means any place outside of the Beit HaMikdash. Now this plaza before the Shar HaMayim was not the Beit HaMikdash itself. If alone, so the Gemara says, Vaksiv, but it says, Vayamod Ezra HaSofer HaMikdal Eitz Asher Osu Ladova Va'omar Avgidol Shegadlo B'Shem HaMeforash. But this opinion, the Gemara now is saying that yes, Ezra did read it, yet he read it outside, and he used the Shem HaMeforash. But we just said a moment ago, you can't use the ineffable name outside. So the Gemara says, Harat Shah, I thought it was something that Ezra Paskin for that moment. He permitted, and he himself did it. He used the Shem HaMeforash outside. By the way, this could also be something that adds to the emotional impact of the moment. The Jews, first of all, have not heard the Shem HaMeforash V'hakohanim v'ha'am shayu omdim v'azara, when they heard the shame hamafodash yotzei mipi kohen gadol bigedusha v'tahara. What did they do? Ayu kodim u'mishtachavim u'modim, and they said baruch shem kvod malchus olam. Do you understand the idea of once a year on Yom Kippur? The Bigadusha Vitahara, you hear this unusual, ineffable name of God coming out. This is not something that shakes Klal Yisrael. We bow down 4 or 5 times during the Avodah of Yom Kippur just for that. Can you imagine most probably what it feels to a Jew who's going to hear the shame on the Torah, Shiotse, Bigadusha Vitahara, Mipi Ezra, Sofer, outside of the Beit HaMikdash? It hasn't been heard most probably in history. I'm becoming more and more convinced that I'm right. It's not merely a matter of fear that motivates Jews. They got all frightened because they heard the terrible punishments. I think that it, in a sense, diminishes them. I think that these people are being moved by not only how historic the moment is, but there is a sense of tremendous sanctity that is moving through that crowd. Now watch. Vayitzaku, in the next chapter we're going to learn Vayitzaku el Hashem elikim bekol gadol, they cried out to God in a great voice. My Omar, what is it that the people cried out to God about? Omar Rabbi Yisem Rav Yochanan, Rav said, and some say it was Rav Yochanan, Bayo, Bayo, Hainu, Hai, the Akrevei Lemigdisha, the Kaye Lehechale, the Katlinhu Lekula Tzadika, Vaglinol Yisrael me Aron vaadayin medakeid beinan. I will repeat. They cried out, "Bayah, bayah, bayah!" is a term that means oy vey. There is something that they are crying out about. That's going to be mentioned in the next chapter. What is it? Hainu. That's it. Hainu achrevei lemikdash, that which caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The Kayelehechole, that caused the burning, the conflagration of his house. The Katlinu Lekula Tzadikin caused the death of all the Tzadikin. The Aglinu Yisrael Be'arhom, and caused Israel to be exiled from their land. That's it. That's it. There it is. V'adayin Merakeh Benon, and it's still dancing amongst us. Klum Yahavtolon Ela Lekibule Be'igra. You gave it to us. You gave it to us in order that we should receive reward for it. Lo ihu b'inan, we don't want it. Lo agre b'inan, and we don't want the reward. What were they talking about? What were they talking about? There it is. The thing that caused all of the suffering and all the destruction. And it's still here amongst us. And you gave it to us, God, so we should have reward for overcoming it. We don't want it, and we don't want its reward. And the response from heaven was, Nafalu pitko mirekia, a petek fell down from heaven, to have a ketiv ba, and you know what was written in that petek? Emes. That's it, the word emes. Amar Rav Chinina said, Shvamina, from here we see Chol Tarnol Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emet. The seal of God is truth. Do you know what they were talking about? They were talking about the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Something that we are absolutely incapable of understanding. If you find that there were Jews who worshipped idols, then you have to know that there was a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. It was something that tantalized people, drew them, seduced them, and that they say that caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and it's still there. In other words, we should not necessarily see pagan and heathen man as somebody, you know, like in Dark of Africa, running around with a loincloth. There was a certain, I don't know what words to use.
Think about Asia.
Yeah, tell me about Asia.
And there's
with Avodah Zarah.
Everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go.
Idol.
There was something about it. And Klal Yisrael asked the Rebbeinu Shleilam to do away with it. This is the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Anshei Knesset HaGadola prayed and the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah became back. That's what's happening over here. The one thing that the Gemara here, I don't believe the Gemara here says it, but the Gemara says in another place, oh yeah, yeah, no, it's going to be here also. There are two Gemaras where they wanted to, they prayed that the Avodah Zarah of sex should be removed. How do you like that? And then again, Gemara's going to say, a few days later, they needed an egg. Can you imagine it? It's good that this was after Sukkot, if it would be Pesach time. Harvey Duglin told me today, he was trying to describe to me the number of eggs that they used in the Renaissance over Pesach. The number of the of eggs. A few days later, they couldn't find... I don't understand it, Mara. Don't make it more difficult for me.
No,
it just said that any kind of...
They needed the chickens to be there in the first place.
Yeah, in other words, all reproduction came to a halt. And therefore they needed an egg, and there was no egg. Well, Bo, this is a few I'm reading further on the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Bo, they needed an egg, bat yoma, one day old egg, b'chol aretz yisrael v'lo ishtaka. So then they wanted to do away with... So the Gemara finally says that they did away with the Yetzer Hara of sex partially. That one should not be attracted to incestuous relationships. Kolkach. In a sense, that they were mispowel for, they prayed for that, and there they were answered. All right.
Where is that? What are you reading
later? What are you reading? Uh-huh. You don't want me to skip the line here. Yeah. The Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah. The Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah. And that's what they're going to cry out with in a great voice. Let me take you... Now, I want you to save these sheets because I still need the next part of the Gemara. But so far, how am I doing?
Very well.
One more Gemara. This is already a little bit more involved. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Erchin. I don't know the extent to which I will be able to do it. Huh?
Some people...
All right, here. No, I may not do it. Huh? I should go. Okay. So I'm going to begin. If I don't finish it now, I don't finish it now, so I'll finish it next week. This is going to deal with the question of why, number one, why is Yehoshua's name written here, Yeshua? That's number one. Number two, what does the Gemara mean? What does the Pasuk mean when the Pasuk says there was no Sukkot like that since the days of Yehoshua? There was no Sukkot like that. And it's also going to be related, fascinatingly enough, to the Gemara that we just learned in Yuma about the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see if I can't do it. I'm going to go through the Gemara quickly. If I can't do it too much justice, then we'll repeat it and go in greater depth next week. Where to start? By the first of the black lines. You have my black lines over there? My time at the Mandi Oma, what is the reason for the person who holds Kedusha Rishona Kidsha Lishata Velo Kidsha La'asid Lavo? What is the reason? Throughout Shas, there is a machlokas whether the first sanctity of the land, and we've talked about this often, whether the first sanctity of the land in the days of Yahushua remained forever, or the first sanctity of the land in the days of Yahushua did not remain forever. And then Ezra came and re-sanctified the land. So the Gemara says, my time in the Mount Yama, what is the reason for the person who says, Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctity of the land by Yahushua, Kidsha L'Shata, was sanctified for its time, although Kidsha L'Osat Lavayim was not sanctified for all time. Dechsiv, because it says, Bayasu B'nei HaGola, the Pasuk in our chapter. The people of the exile returned from captivity. They made sukkos, and they sat in sukkos. They hadn't celebrated it like that for the days of Yeshua bin Nun. But to him, simcha gadola miyot, there was great joy. Efshe, the Gemara says, is it possible to say, but David, came for the loss of sukkos, Achibo Ezra. But what the Gemara really means, all of those generations, nobody made sukkos. And now, finally, along comes Ezra, Achibo Ezra, Ella. You know what the pasuk means to tell us? Makish bi'asam bimei Ezra bi'asam bimei Yoshua. The pasuk wants to compare their arriving in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra to their arriving in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yoshua. Mad bi'asam bimei Yoshua, just as when they came in the days of Yoshua. Manu Shemitah, and they began to count the years of Shemitah. V'yovalot, and the years of Yovel. V'kidshu oreichoma, and they sanctified cities with walls around them. Av bi'atam bimei Ezra. In other words, they are putting Ezra and Yahushua side by side. Also, when they came in the days of Biatan, Bimei Ezra, when they came in the days of Ezra, Manu Shemitah, they counted Shemitah, Vyoblos, the Kichu, Orechom, and they sanctified walled cities. V'omer, and it says, V'heviyachah Hashem lekecha el ha'aretz, God your God is going to bring you to the land Asher Yahushua b'uchtecha, that your fathers inherited v'yidishta, and you will inherit the land. Makish Yerushalcha liYerushat Avotecha, your inheritance of the land is compared to the inheritance of the land of your fathers. Ma Yerushat Avotecha, just as your fathers inherited the land. Bechidush Kol Hadvarim Halalu, by renewing all of these things, Shmita and Yovel, etc. Af Yerushalcha, also your inheritance land. Bechidush Kol Hadvarim Halalu, you begin with these things all over again. Veida, now the other opinion, when they say that they had not made sukkahs like this from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, what they're really doing, according to this opinion, is they are comparing the coming into Ezra, some of the days of Ezra, to the coming in. In other words, like everything is new again. Just like they made sukkahs in the days of Yeshua, they made sukkahs in the days of Ezra. It doesn't mean that no sukkahs were made in the intervening 900 or 1,000 years, but they made sukkahs, and they made Rosh Hashanah and sukkahs, which means they started counting years. They started counting the years for Shemitah, for Yovel, the Idach. Now, the Gemara says that there is another... There is another opinion. There's another opinion that when it says that they never made sukkahs like this, you know what it means? The sanctity and the holiness of that sukkahs was different than any other sukkahs that they ever celebrated since the days of Yeshua. Why? Because this sukkahs, they had finally done away with the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. The other opinion is, the boi rachmi, bikshu rachamim, they had asked mercy, al yetzer davei dezora ubatleg, and they removed it. V'ogin schuso alayhu kisuka, that schus now protected them, just like the sukkah protects the Jewish people. They had entered a new stage of history, a history now that was going to be free for all intents and purposes of the terrible agony of Avodah Zarah. The Hainu, according to this second opinion, now we understand the Kakopit Gra Layu di Yahushua. Why the Pasuk seems to be taking it out on Yahushua. The Bechol Duchte, every place where his name appears, it says Yahushua. The Hachok Siv, over here it says Yeshua. You know why? Because Yahushua should have prayed for the removal of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara explains, Bishloma Moshe lo boi rachmi. Moshe, I understood why Moshe didn't ask that this Yetzirah should be removed. The Lohav is the chuta of Eretz Yisrael, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the schus of Eretz Yisrael. El Yahushua the Havale is the chuta of Eretz Yisrael. Yahushua, who did have the merit of Eretz Yisrael, Amai lonely boy Rachmi, why didn't he ask to remove that miserable Yetzer Hara? If the Gemara says that he could have prayed for it, obviously the Gemara is assuming that he could have done it. And more than that, the Pasuk is telling them that he could have done it, and it was considered, this was something that was held against him, because instead of writing his name Yehoshua, they wrote it Yeshua. In a sense, by removing the hay from the name of Yehoshua, he didn't ask God to help him, or in a sense, he diminished God, so to speak, by virtue of the fact that he did not ask for this to be done. We may look at it as maybe some kind of an unfair complaint to him. But you know what?
Look at the
adults. The adults
have different
standards. That's right. They, Yahushua, Gemara says, from this passage, from the fact that the hay is missing in his name, some of us, we see that this was a complaint that's held against him. So when it says there was no sukkahs like this from the days of Yahushua, it doesn't mean that they weren't celebrating sukkahs during all of the apostles were celebrating sukkahs. But this was a sukkahs that was user-friendly, free of any thoughts of idolatry. In a sense, there is God himself who hovers over them. The Shekhinah, the divine presence, hovers over them and protects them. Huh?
The whole idea of the Sukkah, the Anane HaKavod.
That's exactly the idea of Sukkah, Anane HaKavod. Exactly. That they didn't have, something of this sort they didn't have since the days of Yahushua.